Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
For this Lord's Day morning, I want to look at our Lord's words that are recorded by Matthew in Matthew chapter 10. That's Matthew chapter 10. If you're able, I realize it's early in the morning, but if you're able and you have one close by, I'd ask you to grab a Bible. Pick up that Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 10 and follow along as I read this passage. And if you don't have one handy, that's fine. Just listen as I read. Here is our Lord's words, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, as recorded by Matthew in Matthew chapter 10. I'll begin reading in verse 32. "Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." What an intense passage. What an astounding thing to consider, especially when we consider that these words flowed from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. These words were not flowing from the lips of some radical denominational preacher trying to push his own ideas or thoughts. These are the very words of God manifest in the flesh. So for this morning, what I want to do is examine this text and examine our Lord Jesus Christ's words and how our Lord actually intended them. My title and my subject would be this: God's Christ is no competitor. The Lord Jesus Christ refuses to compete with anything else in this world. Now, Jesus Christ the Lord, God's Holy Son, God manifest in the flesh, is most dear to God the Father. Jesus Christ is the most dear thing to the heart of God Almighty. Jesus Christ is superior universally to all things that are in this universe. And let me read these words. If you have that Bible, if you were able to get one, turn to John chapter 5 and listen just a few words of what our Lord Jesus Christ said as recorded by John. John chapter 5 and verse 23. Jesus Christ said these words, "That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father." But listen, there's more. "He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." So again, Jesus Christ is the most dear thing to God Almighty. Now, Christ starts in our text. He starts with what I will call what men would probably think of as a good note. Look again at verse 32. Whosoever, that means anyone, therefore, shall confess me before men. Now notice what he said. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Consider those words. To confess is much more than acknowledging before others the historical facts about Jesus Christ. He is not talking merely about acknowledging or confessing that Jesus Christ came into the world, that Jesus Christ lived in this world, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day, or even the mere fact that he ascended back into heaven. But he says, whosoever confesseth me before men. That's the point. To confess is much more than just acknowledging the historical facts. It is to willingly, knowingly, lovingly, in faith, confess before men Christ himself. Christ himself. It is to confess who he is. It is to confess what Jesus Christ accomplished when he came into this world. Jesus Christ came into this world and attempted to do nothing at all as an attempt. Jesus Christ came into this world to fulfill the will of the Father. To confess Christ before men is to confess his person and his work. It is to confess Christ's deity. It is to confess Christ's humanity. It is to confess his sovereignty over all things and all men. It is to confess his immutability. It is to confess his omniscience and his omnipresence and his omnipotence. It is confessing him before men. You see, Jesus Christ, in other words, is saying to you and to me that he will not be admired secretly only. I know of some people who say they believe in the Christ of God. They believe and hold to the Christ of God that is declared in this book, but they make statements such as, well, I cannot say that or preach that or hold to that in my church, or they kick me out. Well, the best thing for you to happen, the best thing to happen to you, is that you confess Jesus Christ before them and let them kick you out. Ah, but see the next phrase by our Lord. Yes, he said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But then look at the next verse again. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. What a warning. You see, such as this, such as who would deny who Jesus Christ is, such as who would deny what he actually came to do and accomplish, such as this will perish because Jesus Christ said, I will deny that person, that individual who does deny me before men. Christ said, I will deny them before my Father. Can you confess the Christ of God? Can you confess the Christ of God? I'm not asking you if you can confess your merits. I'm not asking you, can you confess that all you do for the church or all you do for the Lord? I'm asking, can you confess the Lord himself? I'm not asking, and neither is Christ talking about confessing our works or to confess even our faith or to confess our baptism, or to confess our church membership, nor to confess our denomination. He said, whosoever shall confess me before men, I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. It's all about Christ. It's all about him. But that's not all that our Lord Jesus Christ said. Christ will not compete with family. Christ will not compete with human ease. And Christ will not compete with ego or self. You see, if Christ is not all to me, if Christ is not all to you, then what Christ is teaching here is that we have nothing to do with him. We will perish. We will perish if we are not among that group that confess him as he is before men. You see, as a matter of fact, Christ exhorts us here to do one thing. Here's one thing to do. Think. 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 But he puts it in the negative. But think not. Do you see the words? If you have that Bible, look at it again. Now we're in verse 34. Think not. Often our Lord Jesus Christ spoke to men and women about their thoughts, about what they think. And rarely did he have very much good to say about what we think. But here he is encouraging us to think. Think. But he puts it in the negative. But think not. Do you see it? Think not. Now, I realize that in our day and age, that there is a satanic fraud that is being perpetrated upon people, that Jesus Christ was sent into this world, and that his gospel, his message, is one that is designed to bring all of humanity together. There is that satanic perpetrated fraud upon men and women that Jesus Christ and his message is to bring all families together and bring peace in all facets of living in this world. But let's look at what the Lord of glory himself said. Remember, this is not my opinion. This is not some preacher's opinion. This is not some denominational pastor's opinion. These are the words of the Lord of glory himself. And listen again to what he says. Let's look at verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come. Now, three times he mentions his coming. Once he says, I'm come not. I am not come to send peace on earth. Don't think that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace. What did he come to send? A sword. And then he goes on, verse 35. For I am come, I am come. Here's why he came. For I am come to set a man at variance. Do you see that word? That's a strong word. The word means to cut apart. It means to divide something in two. Figuratively, it's often used in the scripture to alienate. So he says, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. This is why I came. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. These are the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, when God Almighty calls a sinner to repentance, when God Almighty calls a sinner to repent toward him and calls a sinner to faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, if that happens to you, if that happens to me, your unbelieving kinfolk will oppose you. Your unbelieving kinfolk will become your enemy. And Christ came for that very purpose. Do not think that this is some unfortunate consequence because of men's rebellion. It is sad that men rebel against their God and Creator, but this is the reason Christ said he came. Again, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance, that is to alienate one from another, to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Christ is competing with no one and no thing in this world. You see, if your faith, if my faith, if our faith is not this kind of faith, the kind of faith that separates the believing from the unbelieving, the kind of faith that separates those who trust God and those who are infidels. If the kind of faith you have, or that I have, is not this kind of faith, then we have missed the Christ of God. Listen to a sister or a companion passage, and Luke records it in Luke chapter 12. And these again are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And they are very similar to what Matthew wrote. Look at it. If you have that Bible, look at it. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Our Lord wrote these words. Listen to them. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it already be kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on earth? I tell you, no. Do you see that? Are you reading it? Suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on the earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Those, I realize, are severe words, but our God is both gracious, and our God is also severe in his absolute holiness. You see, the gospel of Christ offends men, because the gospel of Christ debases all of our merits. It debases my merits and it debases your merits. The gospel of Christ debases my righteousnesses and it debases your righteousnesses. The gospel of Christ debases all of men's religions. Jesus Christ did not come to bring all religions together. And Jesus Christ did not even come to bring all of humanity into the same religion. But he came to bring a sword. So these are the words of Jesus Christ concerning what he came to do when he came. This is the truth. Secondly, our Lord Jesus Christ also said this. Our physical ease is no competitor to Christ. Verse 38. You got that Bible? Verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Let me see if I can give you an example of this. And it's a scriptural example. Anyone hearing me this morning, are you familiar with Job? The Job of what we call the Old Testament? Job was a very rich man, but he was a man that believed God, and he loved God. And God Almighty had so protected Job that even Satan himself could not touch Job. But then God, in his own sovereign purpose, said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan said, basically, "Yeah, I have, but you put a hedge about him, and I can't touch him." And God told Satan, God permitted Satan, God suffered Satan to touch Job in a way that would be detrimental to the mental state of any human being apart from the grace of God. And Satan took away from Job everything that Job had but his life. And yet, Job cried out these words, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You see, I realize that in this day and age, many are preaching that Jesus Christ came to put us all at ease so we'd have great lives and have plenty of money and plenty of friends, but that's just not so. The Lord himself said, verse 38 again, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Here's the third thing. Ourself. You and I, that is me and you, that is your ego and my ego, is no competitor to Christ. Christ is not trying to win us over. Do you hear what I said? Christ is not trying to win us over. Here's another reason why he came. He that findeth his life shall lose it, And he that loseth his life, but specifically, look at it, and he that loseth his life for my sake, not a doctrine's sake, not a handful of doctrine's sake, not for a denomination's sake, not for human righteousness' sake, not for legal righteousness' sake, but for Christ's sake. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So again, me, self, ego, you, yourself, your ego will not, it will not compete with Christ. Christ will conquer you. Christ will conquer me. And he will do so to make me willingly, or you willingly, lovingly, conscientiously bow to him. And he will do so in this life by the preaching of his gospel. He will do that, or either he will put you under his foot hereafter, and he will damn you. God's Christ is no sissy. God's Christ is no effeminate beggar. He is not that beggar that we hear perpetrated upon the souls of men and women today in today's so-called Christian religion. He is none other than God Almighty. Now, here's another passage. If you have that Bible, still have it. Turn to Romans chapter 9. And this is Jesus Christ. And listen to what the Apostle Paul says about Jesus Christ, about God manifest in the flesh in Romans chapter 9. Verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And someone says, but how can that be? I don't know how God could love Jacob. I don't know. How could God love Jacob? I understand to some degree why God could and would hate Esau. But it boggles my mind in amazement to think that God would love Jacob. Listen. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Do you see it? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, here's the conclusion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. And listen, here it is. Here's it summed up. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. This is Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ. Now I ask you this. Here's a question. It's a question that I mean this sincerely. My heart goes out because I know what it's like to be brought up under false religion. I know what it's like to never have heard the truth of God, and then all of a sudden God Almighty breaks down your walls and conquers your citadel and bows you to the feet of Jesus Christ. I understand how tough that is. But I ask you, can you, will you, in love for Christ, confess Christ as he is? No holds barred. No matter what comes down the pike. Here's who the book of God says Jesus Christ is. I believe him. One more passage. If you have that Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 1. I want to show you, because someone may say, well, but that's quoting, Paul's quoting in Romans 9 from the Old Testament, talking about God the Father. Yes, he is. But he's also talking about God the Son. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Listen, Colossians chapter 1, this is the Apostle Paul's prayer for the Colossians. And he says these words, this starting down in verse 12, Colossians 1 verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Do you feel that need? Is that need real within your soul? Even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, here is Paul, by inspiration of the Spirit of God, defining for us who Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, is. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, and all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things are, all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And why is that, Paul? Here's why. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. This is Jesus Christ. This is who he is. And he said, don't think I've come to send peace on this earth. Don't think that I've come to bring all of humanity together. He came to call his people out of humanity and bring them into a relationship with himself in love and willingness and faith and mercy. I am grateful for such a God as that. When this book says, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated, I realize, at least to some degree, certainly not to the degree that I should realize it, I should be an Esau. I should be hated by God. My crimes against God are so great that God should have cast me into the pits of the darkness of the damned forever. But oh, thank God that he calls out of humanity a people unto himself. And these people, hear me now, these people come to reverence Jesus Christ. These people come to bow to Jesus Christ. These people come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I see my time is just about up. It's just about up. But I want to give you a reminder. Every Sunday morning on this same TV station, WVVACW, a portion of one of our Lord's Day gospel messages can be watched starting at 12 noon. I would encourage you to tune in. Now, when you tune in, you will hear men preaching this same message, this same Jesus Christ, because there is no other God. All else are idols. There is no other God. All else is the imaginations of fallen, rebellious men. So I do ask you, tune in and listen.